morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Scott Frankel, and I represent Reginald Thomas, the appellant in this matter. The brief raises two issues. We've raised the issue of whether the motion to quash arrest and suppress evidence should have been granted by the trial court, as well as the issue of whether the defendant's prior conviction should have come into evidence in the way that they did. I'm only going to address the issue of the motion to quash arrest in this argument this morning. We believe that the trial court erred in refusing to grant the motion to quash arrest and suppress evidence. The reason is that the evidence presented to the trial court indicated that this was an arrest of Reginald Thomas that occurred on January 23, 2001. When he was stopped by the police officer, he was ordered out of the car with his guns drawn, with the officer's gun drawn. Reginald Thomas was ordered to walk backwards. He was handcuffed while he was kneeling on the ground. He was clearly placed under arrest. The facts do not support probable cause for this arrest. There was there was insufficient information to warrant a prudent person in believing that Mr. Thomas had actually committed an offense. There were similarities that the arresting officer saw in the car that Mr. Thomas was driving with the car that had been described by some of the witnesses to the armed officer.
He was seen circling the bank?
He was seen driving in the area of the bank. I don't think he went by more than once.
You can see him circle a bank once, twice, two or three times.
I can see that he was in the neighborhood and he drove by the bank. The circling seems to raise an implication, I think, that is stronger than the evidence supports. The car had been described by a witness or two to a couple of the armed robberies. The descriptions were similar but not exact. The closest detail was the fact that the car that Mr. Thomas was driving had a license applied for sticker in the rear window, and so did the car of the offender. But at the time, the license applied for sticker was the normal way that individuals applied for new licenses in Illinois, and it was not an unusual feature to be seen on the back of a car. Mr. Thomas's physical features bore some similarity, I suppose, to the descriptions offered by the witnesses to the various armed robberies. But the officer himself who did the arrest, I don't believe, was credibly in a position to observe Mr. Thomas's description sufficient to give him probable cause to make the arrest that he did. The government has argued in their brief that, and also below, that this case is exactly like the Tillman case, where the court held that even though there may not have been evidence initially to support an arrest, probable cause for an arrest, that there was actually a distinction between an arrest and an investigatory stop. The government argues that what happened to Mr. Thomas was an investigatory stop, and that the police subsequently generated sufficient evidence to support probable cause for an arrest, because after his arrest, they searched his car, they found a crack pipe, and later, after Mr. Thomas was taken down to the police station, they did find that there was an outstanding warrant for his arrest. The defense contended at trial, and we contend again here today, that what happened was not an investigatory stop because it was far too intrusive to simply be considered an investigatory stop. If the Tillman case is expanded to include the situation here, the court would essentially be eliminating any distinction between requiring probable cause for an arrest and the lesser requirements for simply making a Terry or investigatory stop to find out if the person that is being stopped is actually the offender. The trial court expressed concern about how the events played out in this stop. She was concerned that the officers had made such an intrusive arrest without further investigation. There was plenty of opportunity to pull Mr. Thomas over, to interview him, to run his name, to check out the license plate on the car, to actually pull him out of the car and look inside the car and maybe find that crack pipe. Nothing of this sort occurred. He was ordered out of the car. Guns. He was forced to kneel down backwards. Clearly, an arrest occurred.
He identified by some of the people who died in the crime.
Subsequently, yes, he was identified by. There were 12 people who actually picked his picture out of photo spreads, and those photo identifications are the items that we actually sought to have quashed and suppressed. And any subsequent evidence, there was evidence that was taken out of the car that was presented to some of the witnesses, and they made identifications of some of the clothing and papers and things that were in the car that they testified to during the trial. We sought to have all that evidence suppressed as fruit of the poisonous tree. For all the reasons stated in our opening brief and all the reasons I just set forth, we believe that the trial court erred in refusing to quash the arrest and suppress all the evidence.
Thank you, counsel.
Please the court, Jeffrey Kramer for the government. The information known to Officer Prindle at the time he observed the defendant was enough to warrant a Terry stop. He had reasonable suspicion, based upon articulable facts, that the defendant had committed, or indeed was about to commit, a crime. This reasonable suspicion grew into probable cause within seconds of encountering the defendant face-to-face once the car was stopped. The district court below found that it was a proper Terry stop, relying upon Tillman and the related cases that the government did cite. Indeed, there are tremendous similarities between the two cases, and the case before us is an even stronger case than the Tillman matter. The description that law enforcement had in Tillman was fairly general. They knew the race of the bank robber, however, it was medium complexion, medium height, medium build. Here, Officer Prindle obviously knew the race and sex of the suspect, but knew his height, his weight, facial features, the fact that he wore sunglasses with gold rims, and was possibly armed. That added to the erratic driving that the defendant did, making the several quick left turns without the driving signal, increases the reasonable suspicion, and indeed unto itself allows a reason to stop Mr. Thomas. Once Officer Prindle, supported by a marked patrol car, stopped the defendant, he observed that he matched the description of who was given the moniker the Paper Bandit. He saw the crack pipe, several sunglasses, and a stack of papers in the front compartment of the car. Now, obviously, the stack of papers was relevant given the name given to the suspect.
The description that if this person they described his nose as being unique, but was he sufficiently described that someone could see him and say this looks like the guy?
Yes, Judge. While the differences in height and weight, there was certainly a range given, and the rather large nose, I believe Officer Prindle did testify at the suppression hearing that he, one of the witnesses noted that the suspect was looked like Walter Payton. They called him a sickly Walter Payton, and that was the exact testimony that was given at trial. The witness who testified knew Walter Payton and described what the defendant looked like and stuck with that description at trial, which is exactly what Officer Prindle knew at the time he observed the defendant. Interestingly, with respect to the sunglasses, one of the pair that were recovered had gold rims, and Officer Prindle testified at the suppression hearing that the defendant who was wearing them threw them onto the dashboard area as soon as he saw the marked patrol car in the parking area where the bank was. The bank was in a standalone building in the strip mall area. The defendant, who reasonable to say was basically casing the First Star Bank, it was in the same geographical area as well as approximate time as the other bank robberies. Additionally, the officer was looking for someone who had brazenly robbed 13 banks and was possibly armed. Mr. Frankel suggests that he should have just merely asked Mr. Thomas his name. Well, if he had done that, he would have found the warrant. But the Tillman case clearly speaks to the fact that when one of an officer was approaching a bank robber who was possibly armed, that it is common sense and indeed good measure to put the person prone and even guns drawn. In Tillman, there were more guns, and there was actually a shotgun put to the suspect's head. And the court in Tillman said that that was a proper Terry stop. Defense counsel asserts in his brief, and Mr. Franklin said it again today, that once the Mr. Thomas was lying prone, that that was technically an arrest. However, that argument was put forth in Tillman and Swift and rejected by the Seventh Circuit. And for this reason, I would request that you affirm the defense convictions. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
Just 2 points in response. First, we believe that this court will have to expand Tillman in order to apply to the facts of this case. I think that the circumstances, as we set forth in our reply brief, the circumstances in the Tillman case were much more immediate as far as concern to the officer that the person who had committed a bank robbery in that case had threatened to blow the bank up. He was in the midst of flight, and the officer had reason to believe that he was dangerous. In our case, there were 11 bank robberies and an attempted bank robbery. There was never any violence or force threatened in any of them. There was one witness who indicated she thought she saw a weapon, but I believe that based on the overwhelming pattern that whoever was doing these robberies was not using a weapon and that violence was not involved at all. In fact, the person who committed the robberies was described as polite and simply asking for the money. As far as...
Well,
it worked in this case.
Because my friend and I had a bit followed from a place on the line. I missed a chance of picking a lot of money. It just looks like if you didn't have money better, you just asked for the money and they gave it to him. That's quite it.
That wasn't our defense. It's a defense in every armed robbery, but not raised in this case, Judge.
Thank you.
Thank you for
Thank you, counsel.
You're fine, aren't you?
Thank you.